It's a wonderful story of a little boy who was sleeping in his room on the second floor of their house. And he awoke only to discover that the whole room was engulfed in flames. Panicking, the little boy crawled towards the open window. And as he stuck his little head outside the open window, smoke engulfed him. His father was on the outside of the house trying to frantically get in, beaten off by the flames. And suddenly he heard the voice. Someone, please help me. Help me, someone. The father, recognizing immediately it was his son, called up to him and said, "Son, it's your dad. I'm here. The little boy said, "Oh, it's wonderful." He said, "Son, jump. Jump, son, jump." The little boy, frightened, he says, "But dad," he said, "I can't see you." And the response from the father was, "It doesn't matter. I can see you." When we talk about that last moment of our lives, many people will say it's a leap of faith. You jump into the unknown. But I tell you, no, that's not true. You don't jump into the unknown. You jump into the arms of the known. You jump into the arms of one who already loves and cares about you. In 1978, I was privileged to have a radio show in Chicago. It was 10 o'clock on Sunday nights. And so it's sometimes, it's Sunday nighttime, that's dead air time. So it became really kind of an easy show to do. And Group W Westinghouse was kind enough to have actually like 4 hours of religious broadcasting, 2 hours what they called Religion on the Line, and then Catholic Conversation from 10 to 11, and then Talk to the Rabbi from 11 to 12. So you can see it was a religious time both on that Sunday night to be able to reach out. And the show was offered to myself and a co-host of mine, Father Ferlin. And so the two of us had a show. And what you have to do in terms of preparation, you have to find for interesting topics, because there was this new format that was being used. It was called talk radio. You see how strange that is now, huh? Now talk radio is almost like dominates the airways, but this was brand new. It was in a sense where people actually could call in and talk to you, and you'd be basically on the air. It was called talk radio. So one of the programs I decided to do was on life after life. Kubler-Ross, very famous in terms of much of her work in death and dying. And then Moody's book came out with Life After Death, where it was a series of vignettes of people who had near-death experiences. And then there was a movie called by Sun Classics that did an investigation of life after life. So I said, hey, this would be a good time, not knowing whether or not it would generate enough interest, at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Well, let me tell you, it was the most popular show we did all year. The phone banks lit up. And what that said to me is that it touched the psyche of people. We all want to talk about our own mortality. And then we also want to talk about our potential immortality. And there were people who called up, and surprisingly enough, we had a couple people who actually had near-death experiences. And I say near-death experiences because it really isn't crossing over. It isn't crossing over because to cross over means to be at one with God. The near-death experience was an insight that was given spiritually, that was transformative oftentimes in the lives of the people who experienced it. So it said to me immediately there's a hunger for us to talk about our own mortality and potential immortality, and how do we embrace that? In today's gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples. There is a debate among scripture scholars of what really Jesus' theme is. Is he talking about the end of the world, when all of us will be held accountable? Is he talking about the destruction of the temple, which we know will occur after his death? We can see immediately in terms of the temple where the sacrifices were offered by the Israelites as a way of offering their vote of devotion towards God. But now this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross would be the sacrifice that would wipe away sin and put us in a new relationship. So perhaps he's talking about the destruction of the temple. Or perhaps he's talking about our own mortality. The fact that all of us have to take a look at the signs around us, directing us and having us understand that life is in transition, that it will change. And this is a transition period that we live, so that what our Lord gives us in and through the sacrifice of his life is open to us, our immortality forever with God. I would venture to say that it's all three. Why limit yourself to just one? It's all three. But one that particularly reaches out to us is that aspect of we will all be called. And there is a time, and we do not know when. Could be in an instant, it could be for a long time from now, but there is no doubt we will stand before God. We will stand before God. I've been privileged both as a priest and a bishop to accompany individuals who have been told that they have a short time to live. It's a tremendous gift that's given to those in terms of the spiritual journey. And it's also a tremendous gift to the person who is in relationship to that person. And I say a gift because I tell you, I receive much more about the insights of life than whatever I could share with those who now find themselves at the very end of their lives. And in that, I've come to some definite understandings. What we value, most of us, in terms of the material, is not the most important thing. Whatever it is, whether it's power or money or prestige or whatever, that is not the most important. Every individual that I have come in contact and dealt with talk about their relationship with those that they love. And they want and desire to make sure that that love which they've known, shared with those individuals, is expressed to them. Is expressed to them. Also, the second thing is, as all of us, we do things in our lives that we are not proud of. We sin. We sin. But God offers us forgiveness. We have a wonderful sacrament called reconciliation. Unfortunately, it is not utilized today. It is not utilized in the sense of helping us on the journey, exercising that ability to be able to claim our lives and claim our faults before God and ask for forgiveness. It's really an important aspect of preparing ourselves to stand before him. And of course, there are those that have told me immediately that they wish they would have spent more time or disciplined themselves in prayer, to have that relationship with God, to understand that relationship, to allow the sense of God to flood through in their lives, through their actions, and in their relationships. To let people know that you love them. To ask forgiveness for our faults. And to be in prayer with our God. Tremendous preparation to stand before our God when that time comes for us to take that leap. Tremendous preparation. But we can't just take it for granted. We have to enact it into our lives. We have to live it. We don't live in the intensity of the knowledge of standing before God. We can't. It would almost immobilize us to think that we'd be standing before the all-powerful God. But what we can do is we can enact His love and the relationship we have with Him in our lives. We can do that. And in doing so, we are preparing ourselves to confront that moment when we stand before our God who knows us and who loves us. It is important for us always to understand and listen to that gospel as it speaks to us. And today, realize that Jesus tells us we don't know the hour, we don't know the time, the angels don't know it, neither does the Son, but only the Heavenly Father. But realize, He is our loving Father. So we have to take His love into our lives so that that leap is into the arms of someone who loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.